Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Commander's Call for May 23rd, year 2018. I am your host, Commander Dan, and chairman for this meeting for the House of Jacob Israel, and for the communication of news and also for discussions of solutions. We've done enough talking, as will be apparent when you listen to some of the things I have to share with you at this time. The title, if you want to call it that, is a call to action for today. And we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. These people today are also known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Also, Borada and Kumru Ambeth. So again, I'm sure the accent's nowhere near as good as my kinsmen across the ocean, but that's my attempt at it. We have a website where we host a whole lot of information. Since the YouTube and major networks for carrying email have started full-time censorship, a lot of the bulk email that I send out is bouncing back, especially if it's an address with Yahoo, Gmail, AOL, SBCGlobal.net, and I believe there's a few other ones. But what they're doing is they're not sending it to you. You're not getting it. And some people think it's because it's going to your spam folder. No, what's happening is you're not even getting it. At the server level, if they see any content through their artificial intelligence and their algorithms, if they see any content that they don't like, it doesn't go anywhere. And I get a notice that somehow I violated these long legalistic terms of service. You ever notice how big they are today with all the legalese in it? Well, as soon as you see that, you know you're talking about Zionist Jewish lawyers got together and finagled it. You see, that's why even when they crucified Christ, they did the exact same thing, didn't they? They had a trial, but was it a legal trial? Was it a lawful trial? No, it wasn't. They violated their own rules, but they wanted him dead so bad that they were willing to do that. Well, it's no different today. Why do you think that over 50% of Harvard and Yale individuals in those law schools, that they are Jews? Do you think that's by accident? They wormed their way into the legal system to do the same thing that they did during the days of Christ. All right? And I just want to put a name in here, so bear with me for just a second. I want to welcome Jim from bankversusyou.com, and his radio program today had Cody Snodgrass on, who you folks that have been with me for a long time know that Cody was our guest here several times. And he wrote the book, Choosing the Light, about his experiences as a CIA black ops contractor and the fact that he was the first guy they asked to blow up the Oklahoma City Marah building, and he turned it down, and he became a black sheep, if you will, because of that. It's a long interview. I have it archived on my website, PastorDan.net. If you wish to listen to it, anything on the master list, which I also have there, that goes back to 1999, including my interviews with General Ben Parton, Don de Grand Pre, the commander of Special Forces over in the Tampa area, Joe Cortina, many, many, many thousands of interviews over the years. But there's a master list there. If you see something that's not linked on the archive pages, if you send me an email, I will upload that interview. Like I said, there's too many of them there for me just to do a bulk uploading. So what I'm doing is, if one of the interviews on that list is something you're interested in, just send me the email. I'll upload it and notify you, and that seems to be the best way to do it. The videos, we've started doing videos, and we're posting them on BitChute. because YouTube has become like so many other Jewish-owned companies these days. They are censoring like there's no tomorrow. So why even start with YouTube? So I've sort of backed off the idea of doing BitChute and YouTube, and I'm going to just stick for now anyway with BitChute. It's not as sophisticated. It's not quite as user-friendly. However, with a little bit of practice and some perseverance, BitChute is every bit as good as YouTube. And the more of us that vacate these Zionist-run organizations and boycott them, which is what we should do, boycott all Zionist organizations, companies, what have you, the more, the less money they'll have. After all, it's the money. It's the money is how they get us, right? And what does the scripture tell you? The root of all evil is what? The love of money. It's not money itself, folks. It's just a tool. It's like the hammer in your toolbox. You can hit somebody in the head with it, yeah, therefore it's a weapon, or you can drive a nail and help somebody build their house or barn. It's just a tool. It's the love. When you lust after money is when you have a problem. All right, we've got a caller. Jim, welcome to the program. All right, okay, hold on a minute. Oh, the software wasn't working. Okay. All right, I got a little delay here. Now, Jim, can you hear me?
It's Christine, not Jim.
Oh, hi, Christine. I'm sorry.
Hi. No, it's okay, Pastor Dan. I've heard your show with Cody before. It was really good. And I just want to tell you, everybody, thank you for having me on your show. I'm just a regular citizen. However, I'm just here to show my gratitude and appreciation for everyone speaking out and to honor the veterans. My grandfather, Philippe Charles Bohm Sr., died in World War II fighting against his own country, the Nazis. He was German and put in a concentration camp. He had his whole platoon bombs, and they all died except for him, and he had his chest blown open. And my dad wrote a book. They hushed it up. They even had the news there and everything. So I'm just here to pay my respects to everybody. You know, I'm very interested in trying to wake people up, and I've been trying to do this for years, you know, to help save our country.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, do you have a any kind of like website or a show of your own or anything like that?
Well, I have a silly little YouTube channel called The Turtle Travel Nation because I am a targeted individual. So my life is very complicated. It's both spiritual and AI targeting because I'm disabled and they won't treat me because I refuse vaccines and spinal injections and, you know, they're a corporatocracy. They don't want to see anybody get better, so they got to keep you on medicine that makes you sicker. And I'm in that situation right now, so I'm kind of struggling with that. And I'm struggling with the medical establishment and the judicial establishment right now.
Holy cow.
So, well, yeah, they took me off my medicine, and, you know, it's not a mental disorder when you're brain damaged from their medication. And the doctor that I switched to, she happened to be, like, she was my primary doctor, and she cut me off by a treatment program. And it was benzodiazepines. They were using it as a muscle relaxer because I have several herniated discs in my spine, a tumor on my spinal cord, and spinal stenosis. So it's very painful. And they refuse to do my surgery. They want to keep pushing all this other little stuff on me. And even she is trying to push pain pills on me, and I did not want them. The only reason why I got sentenced in court, because my ex was just, like, so abusive emotionally, and I hadn't slept for 3 weeks. I couldn't feel my skin all over my body, and it was just a rough situation. I slapped him. The cops got called. I got thrown in jail. And the only reason why they prosecuted me is because they have ordered a psych eval for me, and the psych eval said nothing but it was due to the medication that I was taking that put me in that situation, and that I don't do anything unless I'm provoked. So in order for her not to get prosecuted or her to get in trouble, you know, with the losing her license and stuff like that, and pending a lawsuit from me, they actually gave me 2 years of probation. I've never had been charged of a crime before, and I'm 42 years old. I wasn't allowed to present evidence. I didn't have an attorney because I had nothing to lie about. So And the DA tricked me and told me to take the deal so I could just go home and relax because my nervous system is shot from their drugs. These satanic people that own all these drug companies now, and now they're having all these V8 people with the Medicaid patients now. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. We're getting treated the same as the VA, if not worse. And so right now it's like a soft killer just trying to kill us all off. You know, I know they're trying to kill the veterans off, and now they're elevating it to media influencers is what it is.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I just learned about it because when I got gang stalked by cops and I got in Utah and I got hit by a SWAT team for no reason when I had my work check in my hand, I was 50 feet away from the bus stop, and someone said I was robbing a bank. I had my check in my hand. I'm like, this is weird. Why are they doing this to me? And it was because I was starting to look up information, so they were trying to keep track of me. So, you know, not a lot of people understand this gang stalking program. It's different for everybody, and I'm talking to a lot of target individuals right now and trying to tell them to focus on their health, because what it comes down to is the space fence grid lockdown that Elena Freeland talks about. And all the smart dust they put in the spraying with all the heavy metal particulates. So people need to stay healthy and get rid of the heavy metals and try to, you know, get rid of the parasites, flush out your system, eat as pure food as possible, and stay as healthy as possible. And don't take their drugs, don't take their vaccines, because I know from personal experience, because of the hell that I'm going through. And thank you for letting me speak. I'm sorry if I'm talking too long.
Well, no, you've got a lot to say, and why don't you just go ahead, and I'm going to just mute you for a little bit, and then later on, if you want to, we can go into more detail about that. But I've got family in the healthcare. In fact, they're in the Tampa area. They work at Tampa General Hospital there, and with the university. So I've got a lot of relatives that are doctors and nurses. My daughter's a nurse. A lot of my listener friends are retired medical professionals. So we're very, very aware. I've been natural for a very long time. For instance, I never got the flu when I was raised on the farm. Go into the United States Air Force, and of course you have to get a flu shot back in the 70s. And then I got the flu twice a year, every year, for a long time. After they gave me that shot, until I went natural. Once I figured out that natural was the way to go and to stay away from all the pesticides and GMOs and all the other garbage, and cleaned up the body now has recovered to where I almost never get sick. And actually, for my age, I don't think I look too bad, and I feel pretty good. So the proof is in the pudding, or as my dad used to say, you can't argue with success. So it's working for me, and I tell it for other people, and now you're a second witness and many other people. But, yeah, we have a lot of things that we're fighting these days, as Jim talked about with Cody on his program. It's time to network. We the people got to do something, just like Craig Sawyer is working with other former law enforcement and former veterans to do Veterans for Child Rescue. That's an example that we need to follow. They said enough of waiting around for these damn politicians who are worthless ticks on the body of our country. They're useless. They are nothing more
Absolutely.
Than traitors. So why are we waiting around for these pieces of dirt in the state capitals and in Washington to do stuff like Craig Sawyer is stepping out, and Jim and Cody were talking about it earlier today on their program. It's time for us good folks, the righteous, to stand up. Ezekiel 37 talks about it, that righteous army that comes up out of those dead and dry bones. That's a biblical way of saying spiritually dead people. It's time for those people to wake up and say, enough is enough. How many more children need to die? How many more people need to be poisoned? How many more veterans need to be homeless or not properly
Exactly.
taken care of? Why
exactly.
are we waiting
Amen, right?
for the people who created this problem to fix the problem? Isn't that a form
right?
of insanity?
It is. I want to help fix the problem. People need help. And, you know, I'm going to use every bad situation I've been through in my life. I'm not looking at it as a bad thing. I'm looking at it as a good thing to help other people. You know, so, you know, I'm here to help people come up with solutions, you know, and I'm here to cheer you guys on as a civilian and say thank you guys so much for serving our country. giving up so much of your time. As a matter of fact, the hospital you just spoke about, my mom goes to the VA hospital in St. Petersburg, and she had cancer, and stage 5 vaginal cancer, and that hospital saved her life in Tampa, the one you just spoke of, not the University Hospital, but the other one. So thank you. Tell your friends
Tampa.
Thank you.
Yeah, Tampa General you're talking about, or FSU, Florida State University?
It was Tampa General. They saved my mother's life. They did. They saved my mother's life. So tell them thank you.
Yeah, amen. I will pass that on. My son also had a major surgery there that probably saved his life. Even though, just let everybody know, I'm against the medical mafia. I am supportive of people that do good work for good reasons, but in general in this country, as Dr. Janda has attested to in Congress and outside of Congress, the American Medical Association and the medical mafia in general, it's all about money and not about prevention. So, but
it is
the folks that do a good job, we say kudos to them and thank you for your service. In the medical realm, we know there's good people. There's good people trapped in a bad system everywhere. Robert David Steele, the former CIA officer, says that all the time. Good people
I've
trapped in a
before,
bad system.
Yes.
Yeah, and,
yes,
and that
I
agree with him on. I don't agree with him on everything. He wants to give amnesty to everybody that becomes a good guy right now and turns in the other bad guys. But I'm not so sure I'd want to give blanket amnesty to some of these traitors and murderers and pedophiles, whether they become testifying against their other creatures or not. I don't know. I just have a hard spot with that. The good book tells us to punish the wicked. That's how you stop people from being bad people. You punish when they do bad things. Not give them amnesty or plea deals or any of this other garbage. It's what we need to see in this country are bad people hanging from the end of ropes.
I agree. Amen.
And here, let me give a short story. And again, if somebody else has something, they can certainly hit the *6 and join the list here. Right now, Christine's the only one that's done that, so I'm going to leave you on, Christine, if you don't mind. But anyway, years ago, I was traveling down through Texas, and I was in the military. And I'd just come off of one of my leaves to see the family, who were all back in the Northeast. And so down through Texas, and all of a sudden, I look up, and what do I see? I see this big tree. Now, this is an area of Texas that's very flat, not very many big trees at all. And I see this huge tree, and I can't remember what kind it was, but it had these branches going in every direction. And guess what was hanging off those branches? Coyotes. Dead coyotes hanging from rope.
What?
Okay? And there must have been 20 carcasses in this tree. And I went another 30, 40 miles down the road, and I saw the same thing again. Another big tree out in the middle of nowhere, right along the highway, on this rancher's property with these dead coyotes in it. So when I got to the base and I started talking to some of the local Texans, I said, what the hell's up with all the dead coyotes? And he said, well, think about it. If you were a coyote and you were coming up to steal sheep or cattle or horses from that man's property, and you saw 20 of your kind hanging out of the tree, do you think you'd stick around? And I said, damn, maybe that's what we should do on the southern border, is start hanging the aliens that are coming across there from a wall or from a tree, and that would be a sign not to do it. Well, that's what the Bible's talking about. You stop people doing bad things when you make a public execution of the pedophiles, the rapists, the traitors. There is a clear message, okay? Not going to courts. They own the courts. And even the military tribunals, if they don't hand out a death sentence to these bastards, then they're useless, all right? As my dad
agree.
Used to say, they're as useless as tits on a boar hog, all right? So, not to be offensive, but that's an old farmer's saying. So it's also as bad or as funny as a screen door in a submarine, all right? Just doesn't go. It's an oxymoron. So if they don't hand out the proper sentences, then obviously they're no use to fixing the problem. Not going to fix the problem. We've done enough pussyfooting around. We've done enough trying to coddle our politicians, the bankers, and all of these creatures. I won't even call them human. They don't show any signs of being truly human. They are creatures. I don't know where they came from. I don't know what's on the inside of them, but it's dark. It's dark energy, dark thoughts, etc. And Christine Jim has called in, so if you don't mind, I'm going to see what he has to say.
No problem.
All righty. Let's see if it works this time. Jim, welcome
good
to the program.
Good morning, Pastor Dan, and thank you so much for joining our show this morning with Cody. We had the third installment and had a great show, and one of the fruits of that was for me to make your acquaintance, sir, and thank you for what you do. Let's remember our fallen. I am mirroring you now in our show, and I'm just so blessed to have yet another compadre, if you will, in the tool bag. And I call them Congress critters, like Nancy Pelosi. She is a master legislator by own self-definition. So can you help me understand what the term master legislator is all about?
I can think of other things.
That's my question for you, sir.
I can think of other things to call her, but I don't think that would be one of them.
Yeah, but it's Sunday and we have ladies, but maybe you and I can share that. And
fair.
I'm also very, very blessed in that you have ties here in the Tampa Bay area. I was only away for about 8 years when I did my college, but I was born and raised here. And as you and I discussed, my parents were both from Charleroi, Pennsylvania. So I think we have a lot of common threads that the good Lord has brought together in our meeting this morning, sir. And I fully look forward to future conversations with you, both on and off air.
Amen to that. And let me just add to that a little bit, Jim, if you don't mind staying on with me. You know, you talked about the fact that you can see the fingerprints of the Father working in your life as to why you're doing what you're doing now and where you're at, things like that. Well, the same thing with me being down here in Florida. I'm a former nuclear power plant technician and engineer, and I traveled extensively all over the United States building and doing construction and outages for nuclear power. And all through those years, I'd get calls to come to Florida, and Florida was one of the states on my blacklist at that time. There were so many rumors about, especially down here in the southern part of Florida, that you know you had to be issued an Uzi in order to get back and forth to work. And so for years, it was anybody I called me to come down here to work, I just automatically said no, thank you. Well, then around 2008, the Father had created some circumstances in my life would put me in a severe financial strain. And on top of that, I went to a Christmas party, and out of the blue, a friend of mine showed up that I hadn't seen in quite some time. I heard his voice in the background, and I turned around, and his name was Marshall. And I looked, and I said, Marshall, what the hell are you doing here? And he had come to this Christmas party as a guest. And I ended up sitting down with him for the evening, and he started talking about working down here in Florida. And he said, Dan, if you get tired of this cold winter up here in Michigan, he said, why don't you come on down there and join us? He goes, it's not as bad as you think. Long story short, I took him up on it. I got called for a job. It ended up being the best job I ever had with the best pay I ever had. I made more friends down here than I ever made. The radio program expanded down here. And lately, I have come to find out that people like you, Jim, that this state, for some reason, has a boatload of outspoken veterans, patriots, militia, just people in general that are tired of the lies, the deception, the criminality. And for some reason, per capita, this state seems to have the most of folks like yourself. So I looked at it as that's why I'm here, okay, because I'm also part of the American Legion, so I've got a lot of contacts in the American Legion, and surprisingly, within the last 12 months, most of the Legionnaires that I've talked to feel exactly the same way we do, that Christine was talking about, that you and I and Cody, and I have been shocked, because 2 years ago, most of them would have walked away from me if I brought up a conversation. Now, when I go to a post, typically the conversations have already been going on when I walk in. They're already talking about the very same things we're talking about and the fact that they're disgusted and something needs to be done. That tells me that we're close to the point where Ezekiel 37 could come to pass, where a righteous army, an army of men, not ladies, that's not that I'm trying to diss you, but the fighting is our job. You ladies are supposed to be in a support role. We're supposed to be on the front lines. And it's time for the men to rise up and say, I've had enough of this garbage. It's time to put an end to it. And just like Craig Sawyer's doing with Vets for Child Rescue, Joe Cortina there in the Clearwater area near Tampa, he's written three books about the children of the devil, the children of Satan. So, this area seems to have a lot of us, and I think we need to just start working together, as you said, networking, reaching out to each other. There's an organization for the Free State of Florida. Have you ever heard of that before, Jim?
No, sir, I have not. And, I just cannot applaud each and every bullet point that you just outlined. People think of Florida as redneck and this, that, and the other. But, we are a silent Texas, in my opinion. And I just cannot stand to see a human being or an animal hurt. And I'm going down my little show notes here. I tease people. I am lucky enough to have a big old farmhouse and piece of land, which is in Hillsborough County, which is not in Tampa proper. And I've said over the years, I have big, fat, strong oak trees, and I will donate the nooses. Because to circle back, if we start to show the American people and these politicians that we've got Hillary and Bill and Nancy and Maxine and John and McCain and what the hell is what's his face? John Kerry. What the hell's he doing caravanning around the world representing us? I mean, I could go on and on. But at the end of the day, the Lord brought me into this in 2007. I've been CIO of a law firm at arm's length since 1984. In 2007, I joined them full-time to do mortgage investigations because I knew something was wrong, hence the term bank versus you, hence the nickname Hut Master, Hut being a house in Florida. And I just woke up one morning and the Lord said, you will be doing this. And with my background is electrical engineering, computer science, both have master degree in, and I have a minor in Dr. Phil, which is psychology, and I think that's kind of a joke. But at the end of the day, I've used that. I'm kind of fast-tracking here. But to circle back around and put the wheels back on the track, Pastor Dan, there are good people in this jurisdiction called Tampa Bay, others, and we stand, I'm going to say we stand ready because I'm sick of this bull shat, S-H-A-T. And the other thing I want to say before I yield the microphone back is I'm like you, I'm old-fashioned. It's time for the men to come forward and take care of this. And ladies, I don't mean that with disrespect. The way I was raised, the man takes care of the house, takes care of the family, takes care of country, and the women support us. And I don't mean that in a subservient. And those that know me know that I lost the love of my life to cancer 2 years ago. And frankly, she was the most perfect lady on the planet, Pastor Dan. She was my partner. Her studio chair is still right here next to me in Studio One. Her microphone, I haven't touched anything. And with that, I offer my network, my computers, my knowledge, anything that I can do to help this effort go forward, and I will say I'm never going to ask you, nor will ever, ever expect or accept a dime, a penny, a dollar, nothing. It's go time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was just looking at a note that somebody sent me privately, so excuse the little pause there, but it's dawned on me. I was thinking this morning as I was laying on the bed and sort of contemplating the day. It reminded me of the verse that talked about the fact that Yahweh's people, which is God's real name, Yahweh's people would lay on their beds and sing his praises and have a two-edged sword in their hands. And I was, as I was laying there, that verse came, it was like an epiphany. When I read that verse years ago, I thought, you know, that's kind of odd. Why would he talk about laying on your bed? What? And then as I laid there, I thought about it. Wait a minute. What better time to be in meditation and prayer with Father than when you're first wake up or just before you go to sleep at night? You're in your bed. You're not distracted. The kids are all asleep. There's no radio, no television. There's no distractions. It's peaceful. It's quiet. You're laying there. You can think, and you can pray, and you can contemplate. I said, you know what? Now that verse makes sense to me, because that's exactly.
Oh, Pastor Dan, when I lay my head down at night, I'm debriefing myself, and when I wake up in the morning, I used to abruptly hit the deck and get my day going. Now I wake up gently. And I do ponder my day. I mean this kind of as a funny, but now you're scaring me because that's exactly my lifestyle, sir. I wake up in the morning. I'll lay on my back. I will contemplate the day. I'll contemplate my dream state, which has been very, very strong in recent years. And I ask for the energy. First of all, I thank the Lord above for giving me another day to serve my country, and I derive my knowledge from that brief period of meditation, sir. Yes.
Amen to that, and it's interesting you mentioned that, the dreams. I've got friends of mine that don't dream at all. So when I tell them that every single night for as long as I can remember, my whole night is full of dreams. And I'm not saying that makes me special, but it's just uncanny that you mentioned it as well. Well,
we're in touch with our conscious, which means we're serious. And, you know, back in the day, being a techie, I had two aspirations. One was to develop a levitation vehicle, which would be positive charge coils to, you know, offset the negative magnetic energy. And the other thing is, I put myself through college as a bench tech for a company like Best Buy, and VCRs had just come out. So I got a chance to learn about servos, videotapes, spinning heads, laser technology. And the other aspiration I had, which I played with but I kind of abandoned years ago, was to be able to videotape or give some type of evidence of my personal dream state. And I'll tell you, in my opinion, our dream state is our subconscious either cleansing or, you know, real quick too, I had a JVC video camera, and I couldn't. The client would bring it in. It would fail for them, but I couldn't get it to fail for me. And this is God's truth. In my dream state, Dan, there was one power regulator on the master circuit board that came to me in my dream. And once I replaced that $4 part, it was done. So we do need to listen to the voices, if you will, or dream state. You know, and I swear I'm not crazy.
No, you're not crazy. Oh, I find it interesting when all these things come together. And I won't. I've got another caller here. We're going to have to go to in just a second.
All right. Well, I'll let you go, but you are more than welcome. I will be the best host in Tampa, and I think, if not to brag, but if you came and saw my lab, my facility, and my studios, you're going to go, "Wow, you are nuts!"
Jim,
Tesla was. Yes, sir.
Yeah. How far from Valrico are you?
Maybe about 15-20 miles to the south. I'm actually near West Chase in Tampa, if you know where that is.
You're not near Sun City, are you?
No, that's way south of me.
Oh, okay.
That's over the, you know, I'm in West Hillsborough County.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm near, you know, Howard Franklin, Gandy Bridge, Bayside Bridge is about 9 miles to my east. I'm near the Veterans Expressway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very conveniently located. I can be to Tampa International without traffic in 10 minutes, parking my car, and be to the intake gate within 20 minutes. So I'm in that general area.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get in touch with you off air, and we'll get together soon.
Well, you have my email address, and I don't want to really give – I don't mind giving my studio number on air, but please do. Let's talk, and next time you're in Tampa, it would be my pleasure to not only host you, but I'll run you by the law firm. I'll show you the studios, and we can get this mission underway, sir.
I agree 100%, and we'll talk off air more.
Okay, now real quick before you let me go, I'll put myself on mute, but I am mirroring your show on my show, so that'll still continue, right?
As far as I know, it will. And if you don't mind, you're recording it, I take it, if you're mirroring it. Is that true?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay.
In the event that you need it, I will not publish your work unless you give me your undivided permission.
You have my permission. Nothing's copyrighted. We're about the truth and getting the truth. That's all we care about. So if you wouldn't mind either send me an email link to your recording, because it looks like my recorder has failed me today. So that would be really, really a huge help to me if you would either send me a link to it or a file or whatever.
Not a problem. What I'll do is I'll bring you into my FTP server that I bring into my trusted, so we can share that. We'll talk off air, but yes, sir, I have a good, successful stereo recording going, and I'll go to mute, and if you want to call upon me, I'll be here.
Amen. Very good. Thanks, James. Okie dokie. John, are you there? Hello? Okay, John. Do you have your speakers turned on? Do you have your headset plugged in? Okay, hold on a minute. Because I'm showing you connected, John, but I'm not hearing anything. If anybody else hears anything, send me a text or a message in some way. And Jim, God bless your heart. I just looked up and noticed that the recorder was not working here, and the fact that you're recording this, you are a savior today, because this program I definitely want recorded, and I was greatly disappointed when I saw the software had stopped. So you're a lifesaver, and I appreciate it. John, I don't know what's wrong, buddy. This thing shows you as being here, but I'm not hearing anything. I don't know. The text window between us is open. If you could put in there, can you even at least hear me? But I'm not hearing you. Okay, buddy? So there's some setting you might have wrong. One of our guests told me that he was pressing the wrong button on his web page, because you can join this call by website, and he was pressing on the telephone icon instead of the speaker and headset. So make sure you're pressing the speaker headset button for your connection to the free conference call, okay? Because if somebody else made that mistake, I'm sure the rest of us could make it as well. So, but anyway, I don't understand why it's not letting you talk. because it's showing you as connected. Try it one more time. Again, I don't see, I'm not hearing anything, John, so we're going to move on. All right, buddy. Christine, Jim, or anybody else, if you're wanting to say something until John figures out what the hang-up is at his end, please feel free to call in. Now, interestingly enough, John, who's trying to call in, is lives in Miami. So here we go again, the free state of Florida. Why do I say that? Well, because I'm of the mindset that if the rest of the country doesn't want to fix this problem, maybe we need to fix it at the state of Florida level and separate from the rest of these other 49 states that don't want to do anything. If the go-to people are down here in Florida, then let's lead by example. Okay? Lead by example. Just like Iceland has led by example to show us that you can take the central bankers and throw them in prison and you can forgive the debt. I listened to an X22 Spotlight report yesterday. Mr. Bill Holter was on. I have tremendous respect for Mr. Bill Holter. It was he who said that 2017 would be the year of the truth bomb, and it was. He said 2018 would be known as the year that truth matters. Are you listening? 2018 will be the year that truth matters. You want to know why we are in the trouble we're in? Is because the truth has not mattered to the average American for quite some time. What has mattered to the average American? Money. That's all they care about. If it makes money or puts money in my pocket, then it's a good thing. That's all I heard people say. I went to a family reunion, two teenagers that were getting ready to graduate were there, and I got into a conversation. I said, what are you going to do with your life now that you're getting ready to go out on your own? You're adults. You got a high school diploma now. So what's the deal? One of them said, I'm going to be a lawyer. I said, wow. And the other one said, I'm going to be a doctor. I said, oh, very good. So you want to help mankind. And I went through all these altruistic reasons for picking those two professions. You know what they looked at me and said? No, Uncle Dan, because they make lots of money. Yeah, that's where the heads of our people are at. It was funny on Jim's program, by the way, which is bankversusyou.com. You can go there and listen. It's a free conference call set up very similar to this one. But he was talking about the fact that our people are dumbed down so bad today, and I give all praise to the Father that I was raised on a farm, and because of my military experience and my age, I grew up and developed my skills during a time when there were no cell phones, there were no computers, there were no VCRs or DVDs or even CDs. The fanciest thing we had when I was a boy was a cassette tape player. That was about the fanciest audio player. And televisions were black and white for the few people that had them. And they were tube type, which means that they were broke more than they worked. So, and the only time you watch television is when all the chores were done, the homework was done, you might be allowed to watch a show. One show. Period. And the phone was a party line, which means when you picked up the receiver, you might hear voices on it because three or four or five families were on that same phone line. And your phone number would have a particular ring so you could tell it from the other ones to know whether you should pick it up or not. But your neighbors could literally lift the receiver up and listen in on your conversation. It was party line. So have we changed over the years? But I digress. Our people have been brain dead for quite some time. Back in the 80s, when I first went to a power plant in Ohio, I got into a conversation at the Document Control Center with a young 20-some-year-old female. And I asked a question related to World War II, and she didn't have a clue what I was talking about. I think I mentioned either Roosevelt or Winston Churchill or something. I looked at her, I said, do you know when World War II was? She had no clue. I said, do you know who was fighting in World War II? She didn't have a clue. And then at one point, it was hunting season, she made the comment, I think it's dreadful that we allow these hunters to kill these animals. I said, excuse me? She said, yeah, it's dreadful. I said, no, why do you say that? She goes, because we should not be allowed to hurt the animals, period. I said, no kidding. And I looked over on the counter, and there was a McDonald's bag there, and she had the wrapper from her hamburger. So I looked at her, and I said, is that your lunch? She goes, oh, yeah. I said, so you had a hamburger? She goes, oh, yeah, it was good. I said, did the cow that hamburger was made from commit suicide? And she just looked at me. She had the strangest look on her face. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, well, that's made from hamburger. I grew up on a farm. We butchered our cattle, and we made steaks and ground beef, and we had roasts, and we had hamburger. I said, hamburger is nothing more than ground up cow's flesh. I said, you are aware of that, right? And she just looked at me. She didn't have a clue. I said, so you think they have a machine that pumps out hamburgers down at the McDonald's? It's just out of thin air? She could not connect the fact that patty of beef in the hamburger came from a living cow. She got mad at me and walked away. That's the state we live in. And this is back in the 1980s. Let me tell you, it hasn't gotten much better. All right? You cannot be ignorant and free. The Founding Fathers said that. You cannot be ignorant and free. The enemy knows that. The enemy knows that. There's a reason they want everybody in public schools. There's a reason the government sticks its nose into business it doesn't have any business in. For instance, healthcare. Do you know how? Did you see how they did that to us? Okay, of course Obamacare was atrocious. They knew it was atrocious. They knew it would never work. But it got us discussing the fact that, oh my God, we don't want Obamacare. Let's take the other option. When the discussion should have been, keep your damn nose out of my business. You have no mandate in the Constitution or in any other document that gives you the right to meddle in my health care. Do you understand? They don't have a right, people. They don't have a right to have any input in our education process. None. It's up to us as parents to see that our children receive an education. And people say, oh, Dan, everybody would be retarded. Have you looked around lately? They're retarded now, thanks to your public education system. I still remember when the Washington Redskins had a defensive tackle, and I used to play football in high school and college, so I know a little bit about offense and defensive linemen because that's what I was. So here's this big black guy. He's a defensive lineman, probably goes about 340 pounds. I mean, the guy looks like a mountain. He's making probably $1 million to $2 million a year back in those days. And this was an article I was reading about this guy. He was functionally illiterate, but he had a college degree. Why did he have a college degree? Because that's what it took to get him to play football for that college. He was entered into the program. He never graduated because he was too dumb to graduate. They just gave it to him. So then they put it in the paper that, oh, this university's graduate has now been hired to play with the Washington Redskins. You see, this is what happens in a society where money is more important than truth. Money is more important than ethics. Money is more important than getting results. Money. God damn money. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that to be the reason for doing anything. Where in all of our training, if you've had the training, where in all of the training you should have had, meaning scriptural and institutional learning, where in any of that did you learn that your code of ethics should be do what thou wilt as long as it makes money? What happened to integrity? What happened to honesty? I like what General Stonewall Jackson said during the American war of northern aggression. He said, duty is ours, consequences belong to God. Do you understand that simple phrase, folks? Do you understand the wisdom? That's what I like about the Bible. It says a prudent man says a lot with a few words. That's my paraphrase of it. A prudent man. Prudent means wise, in case you had a public school education and don't know a damn thing about vocabulary. All right? So a wise man can get a lot said in a few words. And I've noticed that over the years. Most of the people with more higher IQs, they tend not to talk a lot. They listen a lot, but they don't talk a lot because it doesn't take a lot of words. People who pontificate typically are idiots, like politicians and lawyers. So Stonewall Jackson, in just a few words, summed it up. Duty, duty, duty. All you people that have been in law enforcement and the military, do you understand what duty is talking about? Go back and listen to the farewell speech of Douglas MacArthur, General Douglas MacArthur, when he talked about duty. Go back and understand what duty meant in the 1700s and the 1800s when our state constitutions were written, and it talks about the fact that when the government ceases to provide the things that we establish it for, remember, the government is an establishment of us. We precede them. They come from us. So when this creation of ours ceases to perform, it's our duty to discard it and create new government, new forms to provide for our peace, safety, and happiness or prosperity. Happiness actually is a completely ridiculous term. The original Constitution that we were supposed to have says life, liberty, and property. For years and years, I used to ask myself, what the hell does pursuit of happiness mean? That can mean anything to anybody. That doesn't really mean anything. Whereas life, liberty, and property makes perfect sense because they're sacred. Those are sacred, meaning scriptural, meaning God-given. Do you understand what that means? God-given. Do you understand also that a right, a actual right, so when it says the right to life, the right to liberty, the right to property, the right to bear arms. Do you understand what a right is? A right, by definition, cannot be legislated away. Because if they can legislate it away, it's a privilege and not a right. I say these politicians today can go to hell because most of them belong there. Most of them are dirtier than you can even imagine. Now, my dad, bless his heart, when he was still alive, used to tell me, Danny, you're treading on thin ice, son. There's a lot of powerful people out there aren't going to like what you talk about. He said, now, I'll give you my opinion. The people have the government they deserve. I thought that was cold at the time, but you know, there was a lot of wisdom. My dad actually had a lot of common sense. He had more common sense in his little finger than most people have in their entire body. But I understand now what he meant. If the people tolerate tyranny, then that's exactly what you'll have. If the people tolerate liars and misfits and perverts in government, then that's exactly what you'll get. You see, we are the bottom line. What will we accept of them? Now, what is the purpose of the media? The media is to keep you afraid. What's the purpose of a politician? To use the media to keep you afraid. Because if you're not afraid, you don't need them. Why do you think there's endless wars and endless boogeymen and endless terrorists and endless reasons to have the military and be at war with people? Why? Because if you ever figure out that none of us, and I'm talking about all the countries and races of the world, we don't need these sons of bitches in government. We don't need them. If Jesus Christ himself, Yeshua HaMashiach, if he was sitting right here, he would look at you and tell you the exact same thing. I gave you the world. I set you free. What did you do with it? You created institutions made of evil and wicked men, and you believe they have more authority over you than I do. What does Scripture say about Messiah when he comes across those of us that have that attitude? Depart from me, I never knew you. So all you lukewarm pew setters out there that think you're going to sit around and jump on the rapture train, I got news for you. That ain't going to happen. You're the lukewarm that's talked about in the New Testament or the New Parchments. You're the lukewarm that Christ himself says he will vomit out of his mouth. That's how disgusting you are. That's how much he hates you. Now, all you do-gooders out there that think Christ is nothing but love, you're going to find out, all right? You don't have to believe me. You know, there's an old saying that says, you don't have to believe or think that the truth matters. Okay? You don't have to believe the truth, but you cannot get away from the consequences of not believing the truth. So, you people that think you can just sit by and just let this world go to hell because you're going to either rapture yourself away or because some prostitute down behind the pulpit is telling you that a good Christian doesn't get involved. I actually worked with an engineer with general physics one time. He had a engineering degree, electrical engineering degree, and a theology degree. That was quite a combination. I asked him about that. How the hell does a guy come out of college with those two degrees? But he did. And he told me the ideal Christian was a martyr. And I looked at him and I started laughing and I said, well, when do you plan on killing yourself? When do you plan on setting yourself on fire then? He looked at me and he said, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, if your conviction is that the perfect martyr or the perfect Christian is a martyr, somebody who dies for what he believes, I said, well, then when are you going to kill yourself? When are you going to go do something that causes you to lose your life? Well, obviously he's not. They're full of their idiocy that they learn down at the church, or they create this bubble around them where they think that that is what Christ was talking about. It's just completely insane. You know, a lot of people say college degrees actually, for instance, like a PhD, piled high and deep. What we used to call them in the, and I'm not denigrating everybody with a degree, but what we used to call the engineers in the office at the power plant were educated idiots. Because they would typically come out to the field and want you to do things that would either trip the plant or get you hurt. Because they thought because of their degree that they were smarter than everybody else, when those of us in the field that had been out there many years knew that that's not the way the plant works. Okay, we got a caller. Hold on a minute here. Christine, you're back on.
Hi, Pastor Dan. I just want to tell you a message God gave me the other day. And he said, I don't want the treasures of the earth because they're tainted. You know how they get all the diamonds or blood diamonds, and everybody just works and works and works, and they have, like, shops that they moved across Asia and all that stuff, and sweatshops, and then kids work. You know, so that's how I feel about it. They've been pretty much homeless, you know, because I'm disabled. So it's cool with me because I don't really need that much stuff. I just want to be here to help people. And most of my education is on my own for a lot of things that I love. I have almost 4 college degrees, 2 technical schools. I was a travel agent when 9/11 happened. I did computer engineering before that. And then I went back to school to be a nutritionist, but after my cousin got out of the Department of Defense, they ruined my life because they actually tried to kill me in a car accident. I can't prove it, but, you know, I just had some information I probably shouldn't have had and on my computer, and they just deleted all my accounts. So the part of this, the things of these kids is all social engineering. You know, there's a tiered system with it. And right now, like, they've already attacked the homeless. I used to live in Florida. I lived in Florida for 20 years. My mom was 18. I lived in Tampa, and I lived in Dade City. I have a person, his dad used to be the U.S. Biological Chemical Engineer for the United States Air Force. And he's got the same disease as his dad, where his spinal cord and his intestines are disintegrating. I'm not at liberty to tell their names at this point, because my ex, I was dating for about 10 years in my 20s, is still alive, and he worked for FEMA and the Postal Service, and I was a computer engineer. And so it kind of got me on a targeting list after, you know, I noticed after, like, I left him, and things just got escalated worse as the more I got to know. So I got kind of forced into this. And, you know, I like it because I get to help out God's people, you know, and be here for support and say, hey, you know, these people are risking their lives to be on the radio to talk to you guys and tell you things. And they deserve enough respect to be listened to. And I think, like, you know, since I'm 42, the best way to kind of get through to people is just to try to find a common ground with them and start talking to these younger kids. And once you find a common ground, you can kind of slide in, like, okay, well, you know, this is what's happening in the world. You can start planting seeds, because that's what I do. I ask God, what do you want me to say? Because every day I try to do something for him and try to wake people up. And it's gotten me into a lot of trouble, you know, and some of the choices I've decided not to make. And a lot of these kids are poisoned. Poisoned with vaccines. I was poisoned with vaccines. And, you know, now that I won't take them, the doctors are pretty much put me on a do not treat list. You know, they won't treat my back problems. Even if they could, they probably couldn't even do a good enough job anyway, because I have a tumor in my spinal cord, and that's very complicated. So, you know, the school systems are failing people, and the parents need to stand up and do that. But, you know, you have these baby boomers like my mom, they're just, you know, she was all into partying, you know, she was in the Marines, but, you know, she's a LSD 60s, oh, you know, so all this social engineering, I mean, every kid's falling for it. So if we don't stay on top of it in some way, you know, we're going to fail. And we got to start teaching these kids, like, things, simple things, like to get them off these computers and stuff, like, you know, go out and garden, go out and create something new. You know, I refinish wood. I know how to make jewelry. I used to be a travel agent. I used to be a real estate agent. You know, I know how to do a lot of stuff. You know, I know how to work on cars a little bit. You know, but I was raised different than everybody else. You know, I got a chance to experience, like, my grandma had a farm and all that stuff just for a brief moment. But, you know, people are greedy nowadays, too, you know. And that's, you know, Cody said that before. You know, and they're really messing people up with all these medications, too. This is a big thing, because this opioid epidemic that they came about last year in August, if you read the actual paperwork, it said they're just pulling people off their medications. They're doing it like the veterans. And I even know a veteran that they're doing it to. And they're making everybody crazy, and they're just pushing antipsychotics and antidepressants. And you see, if you look at the ingredients of these, you know, you got Prozac, which is made of fluoride, like my, and you know, you've got all these glyphosates, all these GMOs, and the GMOs work with the, you know, the chemtrails, I don't know how to say it like that, or geoengineering or solar radiation management or whatever you want to call it. But that's really affecting people too. And then they set up these harp rings, and, you know, so there's a bigger picture to this all, but, you know, we just got to kind of got to hurry up and try to do what we can and stay healthy and be aware of the situation. I appreciate you guys letting me be here and speak. I don't know as much as you guys know about history, and right now I'm dealing with severe brain damage from the doctors, and I'm taking CBDs that this kid made, and I'm actually getting a lot of benefits. Today was the first day in a year I've actually felt kind of normal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, like, you know, they didn't warn me about this medication, and they didn't tell me about, you know, the effects of what could happen, and that's my fault. I took it. Ultimately, so I can't place the complete blame on them, but they're mismanaging people's medications. Like, I have the doctor literally recorded on the phone and saying, you know, I'm going to kick you out for medicine that you had that was legally prescribed to me. And so he kicked me out of pain management, but it had to do with the spinal injections, because now they're pushing those for people that are in pain, and they're very dangerous. The FDA doesn't even approve of it. And it's $2,000 per shot. And so, you know, they would be making $4,000 a month for me, if not more. So, you know, they're not really apt to fix anybody. And I can only imagine how the veterans feel. You know, they go and serve our country and then come back and then they get treated probably worse than I do.
Absolutely. Well, here again, there's a simple solution to everything, and I like the fact that Jim and Cody were starting to talk about that. In fact, I believe Jim said if we were to return to practical, workable solutions, we could turn this country around in a couple of years. I would actually change that to as fast as a couple of weeks to a couple of months. Because and here's one way to do this. Take the money out of it. All you got to do is take the damn money out of it. What do the Oriental folks do? In a village,
barter and trade would be awesome.
Well, they all pay the local doctor, whatever he is, the local guy that's take care of their health. They pay him a stipend every month. If they get sick, they stop paying him. Okay,
oh.
You see the simple change that makes? In other words, their medical people have an incentive for you to be healthy. Our medical people have a financial incentive for you to be sick. All you got to do is use the financial. All you get, same thing with banking. Why do the banks rob us and cheat us like these government people? Because government people used to be the lowest paid. When I was in the Air Force, government people were not paid very much money. Now they make obscene pays. And now you've got this senior executive service, which is a secret army of bureaucrats, are making obscene salaries. It all gets back to the fact that you allow them to steal money out of your paycheck with no accountability. You know when they started that? World War II. You know what they called it? I believe it was called the victory tax. Up until World War II, everybody was sent a bill at the end of the year for their income tax. And the income tax is unconstitutional anyway. But up until the 1940s, you sent one bill, you got one bill at the end of the year for a small amount, and you'd have to send it in. So what did that mean? That meant if the people ever thought that they were getting too much taxes taken out, they could rebel by not sending it in. So with the victory tax, here you go. They always have some reason, just like 9/11, we got the Patriot Act. So World War II, well, Joe Sixpack, you know, it just takes too damn long to wait for that because we're at war with those nasty Germans and Italians. And so we need a victory tax so that we can take it out of your paycheck. So we can get it quicker so we can make more bombs and bullets to kill the other white people in Europe. That's what it was all about. Now, these same lying politicians, the scum that they are, said, when the war ends, this will go back to the way it was. How did that work out? So here again, they always finagle away. They always give us some lame excuse of why they need to steal our money because... And as I told that group of general physics engineers that day, I said, you want to know why your politicians don't give a damn about what your morals are or what you want with this country? I took my wallet out of my back pocket and I held it up. I said, because you've allowed them access to this without any input from you. You gave them free access to your paycheck, which is sacred. Up until the 1940s, a man's paycheck was considered sacred. Nobody could deduct anything from that paycheck. The company owed that money to the individual. If a government agency felt the need to take some of that money, they had to convince the individual to pay for it. And so they used the circumstances of World War II to foist this fraud on us that we need to allow them to steal our money. I'm going to tell you something. If I ever get the power, and I've told the Father this in prayer many days, there's going to be a lot of hurting people in this country because I'm going to round them up. Everybody thinks Trump's going to drain the swamp. I'm going to tell you something. Trump can't even come close to how fast I drain it. I'm not going to sit around and play games with Q posts and little tweets and everything else. I want military men that I trust and military leaders that I trust, and we're going to go round these people up. And if I have to enlist the militia to help me, then I'll get the militia and the National Guard to help me as well. And we're going to go with provost marshals and tribunals, and we're going after every one of these scumbags. No more tweets. No more, we need to get a mountain of evidence. We need a year and a half. No. You already have the evidence. The NSA has been spying on us from day one.
Exactly.
One.
Exactly. It's created by DARPA. The computer systems are created by DARPA. I don't understand how people could not know that. You know, it's pretty much common sense, you know, if you ask me in reality. And I definitely agree, we need to round these people up. And that's probably why they paralyzed me with the frequency. Sometimes I feel like that, you know, because I used to do prayer walks and I used to go around telling everybody everything. And all of a sudden, one day, I just couldn't walk. This was 4 years ago. And they still haven't helped me. There's nothing, you know. And it's just like, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to get this show on the road. I'm tired of this talking. And I don't tweet. I don't get on social media. I don't like it. I can't really stand it. I get on YouTube. I watch my videos, and that's pretty much it, you know. So, you know, I try to make contact with people. I was in the middle of writing a book, but, you know, I've been sick, so I haven't been able to finish it. I was to have a lot of recipes for what's going on today, you know, in this world, so people can clean themselves out of these heavy metals and the parasites that they're spraying in the sky because it's so toxic, you know.
Well,
so I would say people...
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to inject something here since we're talking about health and how important it is. Something I came to learn, my son is a naturopath. One of my sons is a naturopath. And he was telling me one day about the third eye. You always hear about the third eye. And what is the third eye? The third eye is the pineal gland. And some people call it the pineal gland, but I call it pineal, so it's either pronunciation. The pineal gland is the little tiny gland up in the middle of your skull. It sits back in there. It's a very important function, and it's very tiny. And it's called a third eye because it's made of rods and cones, which is exactly what your eyeball has in the back of it. The rods and the cones accept light frequency and change the light frequencies into an image. You actually don't see an image. You're taking in light frequencies. So these rods and cones are like antenna, and they're tuned to the light frequencies. Well, the pineal gland has rods and cones as well. What's it tuned to? Spiritual frequencies. It's called the third eye because it's the spiritual connection. It's the antenna for us to be in prayer with the Father. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is the pineal gland is extremely important for both of those reasons. It has bodily functions that it regulates, but it also, again, is the third eye spiritually. Why do you think the pineal gland is also the most susceptible to contamination? Now, why would an enemy want to contaminate your body so that your pineal gland shuts down? Possibly an enemy that wants you to be out of contact with the Father, who is our Commander-in-Chief? Could that be? Also that you cannot receive instruction from the Commander-in-Chief? So they have every reason in the world to pollute us, not only because it makes us sick, makes them more money, but it's also so it can shut down communication with our Father. So there you go.
I went through a situation when I was 14. My dad started drinking and he started abusing me. I went to the mental hospital and they thought it was crazy because they couldn't find any marks on my body. So they put me on Prozac and lithium, you know, at the age of 14. Kept me on that for 6 months while I was in there. When I got out, my parents had a fit. Told the doctor, no more of this, you know. And it definitely changed me. All my sisters say that I'm different after I got out, you know, and I've never really been the same, you know. And, you know, I did get into trouble when I was that age, too. I mean, not too much trouble because I was working all the time, you know. So I know exactly what you're saying, and the pineal gland is very, very important. In fact, don't they have the pineal gland, like the statue in front of the Vatican?
That's true, but it's been months since I saw that report. But they've got some really strange things at the Vatican. The Vatican's one point on the triangle of sin cities that's controlling
the world. So, what's up with that Lucifer scope in Arizona? I just don't understand that. They're just like, how could people not wake up when you hear that? Okay, the Vatican owns Lucifer scope. Come on, guys. You know, really? I mean,
well,
how many brain cells does it take?
To the good news, though, I read a Q post last month that said May was going to be a bad month for the current Jesuit Pope, the black Pope that sits in as a white Pope. And I just read this morning that he's talking about leaving his position as Pope in the Vatican. So, interesting. But we got another caller, Christine. I'm going to have to let you go.
Okay, thank you so much for your time, Pastor Dan.
Yep, you take care. Okay, Jim, back on, buddy.
Pastor Dan, one of two things is true here, my brother. One is you've been listening to all my shows since 2007, or the other is we are brothers from a different mother, which is I picked the latter. Your narrative with Christine, what you're talking about, what you're saying, my jaw, I had to go get my hydraulic jack to get my jaw off my desk. Seriously, and I am not patronizing you by any means. It's like, wow. You know, you flush these things out, and anyway, I was going to send an email, which I reciprocated back. I'm glad we're in touch. But the reason I did want to poke in and get your attention is, please call me later this afternoon, if you have a moment. I sent you my numbers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely, I will. Yeah, once we're done.
Okay,
with
we're listening in, and we have a good recording going, and I have some folks in my chat room. So anyway, sir, I just wanted to poke in and say, most specifically, call me this afternoon if you can while this is fresh. I think we have a lot to talk about.
I will certainly do that. Well, while I got you on the air, we don't have anybody else in the queue at the moment, so let me just run something by you. I've been in touch with a lot of patriots in Florida, and believe it or not, a lot of them are former military or police officers. And we talk about this concept of the free state of Florida because we're not sure, should we try to take a county back? One of the guys up in the panhandle of Florida has a deputism plan where he wants us to organize to take over a county. In other words, so many of us move in there that we elect our own sheriff, a constitutional sheriff, and the sheriff will deputize the militiamen of that county. Now, the reason he says that is because as deputies of the sheriff, you can carry anything, literally anything. Also, as deputies, you can arrest diplomats, politicians, and other such criminals. Also, as deputies, you're there at the beck and call of the sheriff should he need them, just as it was in America when she first started out. That's what the posse was. Now, here's the other thing about the posse a lot of people don't understand, and this is an important concept because the militia is the modern-day posse. Why do you think, ladies and gentlemen, the posse went out with 12 men, typically, 12 men? How many people sit in a jury box? Oh, that's right, 12. Why did 12 men go out with the sheriff and maybe one other deputy to serve a warrant or to bring in a bad guy? Well, there was two reasons for that. The very first reason that these 12 men of the citizenry went out with the sheriff was to make sure that the sheriff did not step out of line. He didn't abuse the power of his office to try to rape or steal, murder, or just to harass the citizenry. That was the number one job. The number two job,
go ahead with number two. But see, I'm an old guy, and I'm a deep thinker, so I want to address kind of each one of these. But real quick, the posse is deputized by whom? Number one, the posse being there to protect the people also is the olden day body cam to protect the good sheriffs and true badge deputies. Number
right.
three, I was really good friends with three Hillsborough County sheriff deputies. Their tenure was, youngest was 19 years on the force, the oldest is 28. And they used to come by here for coffee. I dated a gal back, I don't know, this is 11 years ago, and I was out there chucking the football in my front yard with this guy, and he had everything on. His pistol, his badge, whatever, and they didn't carry a lot of the bullshit that they carry now. But I just, see, this is why I wish like hell you were sitting right here in the studio, because we would do a frickin' marathon show. You are so on track. And I just had to interrupt because you bring up different spokes. My theory is we all are the wheel. And Dan, you're a spoke. I'm a spoke. Christine, Mary Jo, Mary Jean, she's going to kill me because I keep – Mary Lou, okay.
Yeah, Mary
Cody,
Lou.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned X-22. They're a friend of the show's. Anyway – It is imperative for everyone to know what just happened today. Dan and I had the pleasure, if I may say, to make our acquaintance. And I'll tell you what, brother, I heard your comment. I said 2 to 3 years. If you and I and others, the men of this country, got together, joined forces, I'm going to circle back around and lean the microphone back to you. But you're correct. A sheriff is the highest jurisdiction in the county. The sergeant of arms in our White House has the abilities, in my legal research, to go arrest just about anyone, to include Hillary, Bill, Kerry. The list is long. And I'm sorry if I forgot any scumbag. Oh, I'm sorry, Maxine Waters. Yeah, I'll throw you in there too. But anyway, Dan, I didn't mean to grab the mic, but I had to punch back in because you and I we're on the same frequency of the tuning fork. Also, the pineal gland, you're damn correct. You and I talked about what we dream. We have spiritual, that's something I can't describe that I've had with me to help people and be directed to do what you and I are doing this afternoon and every day. There is, you open my eyes, there's where it comes from.
Yeah,
you know,
it's interesting how Father's bringing a lot of information to light. Let me throw this in for a lot of the new people that are listening, since you're simulcasting, I guess. But the word sheriff itself, are you familiar with its origin?
No, sir. I'm going to be honest with you at all times. And
a lot of people,
tell us, yeah.
Well, okay. The word sheriff is a transliteration in modern English. It comes from Old English, the reef of the shire, which was turned around as shire reef, Old England. Our villages and small hamlets were called shires. And the reef was Old English for the highest magistrate. He worked, his only person that he answered to was the king. So the highest authority within the shire was the reef. And so he became known as the reef of the shire or shire reef. And today we pronounce it sheriff. It's the same word. And it has the same connotation.
Wow, Pastor Dan. That is very cool.
Yep.
For our Memorial Day show. Go ahead, sir. That's why it's great. We're going to replay this over and over. Go ahead.
Well, it's important because people need to know. There's a book called Anderson on Sheriffs. It also covers coroners and constables. I have a copy, a PDF copy. If somebody needs it, send me an email, and I will forward it to you. You can search for it if you want to get it yourself. But it's called Anderson on Sheriffs, Constables, and Coroners. And it goes into great detail, and it was written a long time ago, but it goes into great detail on the obligations and authority of the sheriff. Because the sheriff, believe it or not, is the last line of defense at the county level for we the people. That he's responsible
to
we the people. That's why he's elected.
That is correct.
Now, we need to fix something here in Florida because Miami-Dade, it's appointed. I want to know how the hell did they get away with that? In the state of Florida, the local government appoints the highest law enforcement official in Miami-Dade County.
I'm going to tell you how. Governor Scott, which I think should be hanging from one of my nooses in the back on my beautiful oak trees for Medicare fraud, Pam Bondi came from Tampa. I have knowledge. I've sat and talked with Pam Bondi. She's a former prosecutor here. And now, as you know, she is the state AG and, you know, had her little soiree with Mr. Trump on the $25,000 donation, which I could really give a rat's ass about. But you know what, Dan? See, you and I need to sit at Grandma's card table and finish this jigsaw puzzle. We're damn close. And Bondi and Scott, and you know, Rick Scott is now running for a Washington office. Adam Putnam.
He, Yeah, he didn't do enough damage at the state level, so now he wants the damage at the federal level.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned you had time in Michigan. One of the head foreclosure, you know, I was a team that shut down David Stern, the foreclosure king in your neck of the woods down there. We got rid of him. But the same guy in Michigan, or the same parallel actor, is now in our Congress as a representative to the community that he foreclosed a shit pile of people out of. They killed Detroit. I watched all this. I watched our great cities, Dan. And if you let me just go on and get this out of my chest so I sleep well tonight. We have watched New York City be the boogeyman. Okay, fear, fear, fear. We watched our great Detroit, the diamond gem of General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, our production facilities. When's the last time we built an oil refinery in this country? And how many have blown up in the last 5 years? Okay? What about the BP oil spill? What about this? What about that? Anyone, and I'm not meaning that you're not awake, but God has put me in this chair for 12 years looking at this stuff, Dan, and it is egregious to circle way back and hand over the microphone that the men of this country, the sheriffs, you're spot on with my research. The sergeant of arms. Every state has, every jurisdiction has a sergeant of arms. And they could, in some jurisdictions, override the sheriff. But in D.C., if the sergeant of arms at the United States Capital of America that resides or posts his post at the White House could effectively right now put handcuffs on a lot of our friends that we want to see hanging in my backyard so we can get onto the barbecue.
Amen to that. Let me add a few things and keep you on for just a bit. Are you aware of the YouTube channel Lionel Nation? He's a former federal...
Lionel is also, he went to law school with my senior partner.
Yep, and he's from Tampa. So he's in New York now, but he grew up and he practiced law in Tampa.
Go ahead.
Yeah, are you familiar with Chris Ann Hall?
Oh, big time. Chris Ann's my buddy, and the last time that I really talked to her and her husband were going on another sailboat cruise, which the first one didn't turn out the best. But yes, Chris Ann Hall is also someone that I have knowledge of. Yes, sir.
Right. So there's another Floridian with tremendous knowledge that will help us in what we're trying to do. And as far as what they have outsourced and they're hurting us for, in the power industry, anybody out there with any experience knows I'm telling the truth. These big turbines and generators that we have that make all of our electricity that we're all spoiled with and we take for granted, we don't make any of those components anymore. Now,
I was going to interrupt you and say, are we going to go to spare parts? But go ahead. Yeah.
I'm wanting you to know something, folks. It takes years in advance to put in the order for a large steam turbine or generator. Years. And you have to get them from places like Japan now. These big power transformers at the power plants that step down 300 and some thousand volts, or step it up, actually, it's like 30 some thousand up to 300 and some thousand to go out over the high tension wires. Those big power transformers, they don't get made here anymore. And guess what the turnaround time in one of them is? 2 years. You put the order in, and you're not going to get a generator sitting there for 2 years. Now, do you see a problem with the fact that we have critical components like that and we have to get them from overseas? And let me tell you something.
May I call your attention to Puerto Rico, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, amen to that. I'm going to tell you something. We're going to talk after the program here, but I'm going to put you in touch with some friends of mine that have a YouTube channel called Downtown White Police. They're very good friends of mine, and you're going to be amazed when you meet these guys, because I'm going to arrange for at least one of them to meet with you and me in the very near future. So if you get a chance, go to their YouTube channel, Downtown White Police.
James, I'm going there now.
James wrote a book by that title, Downtown White Police. I have a copy of it here. Excellent, excellent individual, and he's been a guest on my show many, many, many times. And I've met him in person and his co-host, Jay. They are phenomenal police officers, and they're very aware of what's going on. And I'm sure at least one of them will be very interested in meeting our core group of people here in Florida, because it's got to start somewhere. And let me share something with you, because it just popped in my head, Jim, and I'm going to share it with you honest. And this is not to blow my horn, please. I had a friend of mine back when I first came down here in 2008, and this lady told me she had a vision, okay? And I blew it off at the time because I thought it was nonsensical. But she said, Dan, I had a vision. And I said, well, what was it? She goes, I envisioned you leading an army from the southern tip of Florida north to take America back. So, again, I'm not saying that's going to happen. However, I just found it interesting as we're talking that thought was put into her head, and possibly, I'm not saying it's going to be me, but possibly in the future there will be a righteous army start from the southernmost part of the continental United States, which is what? The southern part of Florida, down at the mile marker zero in Key West. That's the most southern part of the United States. And leading north, and where do we seem to be finding most of the good people lately? I know other states have them too. Don't get me wrong.
Texas and Florida, my brother. And
Texas and Florida. Now, here's the other thing. Did you know, and maybe you do, Jim, because you're aware, but did you know we have three sheriffs in the state of Florida that have declared themselves constitutional and have put out the word in their counties that people should be armed and carry?
Yes, yes. And one of them is in Pinellas County. My data center is in Hillsborough County, and I'm on the fence with our sheriff. But Pinellas County, which is really my homeland and where the law firm and my real businesses are, the other partner went to law school with the Pinellas County Sheriff that is now elected, duly elected. None of this assignment, you know, with no surety bond, and I won't go into that, but I could have a whole 2 hour on surety bonds. I also, ICLEI, I want to put the bug in your ear about ICLEI, but as I go on, this sheriff is meeting, by the way, they went to law school together. So we have, you know, indirect contact. But the thing is, this guy, the mayor of St. Petersburg, if you let me just indulge me a bit, and you know what? I don't care what any of you do in your bedroom. If you're into men and you're a guy, that's your business. But don't put it in my face and don't expect me to say, oh, kumbaya. But our mayor in my beloved town raised the rainbow flag underneath the U.S. flag. The state of Florida flag flies a rainbow flag. Okay? And the reason I say that is we are being taken over. So if we have a jurisdiction, I'm coming to my point, where a sheriff is really one of us, per se, but has, you know, he's one man. And he's having to deal with all these other issues. I cannot believe that my city, and I said this in my staff meeting this morning, has allowed this person to usurp our beloved city courthouse, city town hall, Dan. You know, people have been after me to run for city council for years. I considered it at one point. But our little city of St. Petersburg, which really has grown up, is much different than Tampa. It still is. Tampa is its own thing. But to circle way back around, And my three deputy buddies, I'll bet you $100 that the gentleman or gentlemen that you'd like me to buy lunch for, which I will, know my three friends. And it's going to take the minds. I'm a technology guy. Okay, you guys are law enforcement with your one or three friends. Okay, we put those two together. Then we bring in some attorneys. And listen, my senior attorneys hate other attorneys. They woke up, and they're all retired. That's why I run my private cloud for them. And I'm just kind of giving you guys the skip of the pebble over the pond. In summary, Pastor Dan, I'm concerned. I'll never be fearful because fear is false evidence appearing real, but I'm very concerned. And where I find my solace in Sunday is I met you, and we had a third venue with Cody, sir. We are gaining traction today on Sunday, the day before the beloved Memorial Day. Hey, would you agree?
Amen. And you know what's very interesting? Just yesterday, I sent a text to one of my law enforcement buddies saying, you know, we need to have a meeting of the men in the very near future. That was yesterday, before I ever knew about your program or anything. So he said, name a place and time. So maybe that was a premonition that we do need to have some sort of a get-together, a face-to-face, and talk over some issues and just a general meet and greet and get things rolling and put a face to a voice and go forward. One of the things I do want to caution everybody about is be sure who you're dealing with, folks. All of us need to be able to vet the people that we're going to allow in close to us, whether we're forming a political group or whatever it is, whatever group you've got. The enemy loves to infiltrate, so we've got to come up with some tried and true methods of vetting, and that's one of the things I'm talking to the law enforcement guys about. What can we use to vet the people that we're dealing with as much as possible? There's no foolproof thing, but as much as possible, we need to make sure we've got only the tried and true patriots, the tried and true believers, because this is a cultural / religious war at this point. They are not only trying to destroy America, but they're trying to destroy America because it's white and Christian. All right, that's how it started out. Whether people like that or not, that's not my problem. It's history. Okay, it was stated by, I believe it was, who's the law professor? Dirtbag Dershowitz. Dirtbag Dershowitz.
Dershowitz. Go ahead.
Dirtbag Dershowitz made a statement back when Clinton was being in the news and the moral part of America was at umbrage with him. Dershowitz made the statement that all of this hoopla over Clinton is nothing more than the Christians in America trying to take America back. So that long ago, the Zionists felt that they had taken control enough of America that Christians and their values no longer matter. And take a look at what's happened since then. And tell me that that isn't exactly what has happened. They have taken our value system completely out of this society. We're not represented in government. We're not represented in industry. We're not represented in the media. We are disenfranchised, and that's because we've been listeners and hearers only instead of doers. I think it's time to be
doers.
Well,
Mr. Dan, you know, I like to pick out, I'm an Occam razor guy. I'm an engineer. I take the shortest path of resistance. But let's just ask ourselves one question. One, how is it that the Motor City failed? And people may say, well, because Americans aren't buying cars anymore. No, that's not true. That's not true at all, right? You see, that one little example in the breadbasket of our fine country was allowed to slowly be business molecularly unhinged.
Right.
Slowly. And how many stories have you heard, Pastor Dan, of... I heard one last week of a tech company. They've been there 25 years. And they get the call on Monday morning, you know, you're going to be furloughed or kicked out the door. And, oh, by the way, we're going to pay you for 2 weeks because we have Osmong and his brothers from wherever. And I'm just going to say it, Muslims. And you expect my wife, I'm being, you know, third party, to train the very person that's going to come in. You see where I'm going with that, Dan? How in the world does someone not have the gland? I've talked to people, Dan, that said, I don't have a care gene. I'm just here to make money. And I do my business with them, either in a professional assignment, or I will tell them to go get pucked if it's something to do with my company. Hey, you're gone. I don't give a frickin' rat's ass the size of the contract, Dan. I will never, excuse me, ladies, cover your ears, I will never whore myself out to that bullshit, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I yield.
Right. Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, back when I lived in Ohio for a while, too. I rented a house from a guy that was a welder, and he worked at the Caterpillar plant near Cleveland. And he was renting out his house because he was having to move to Illinois. So we got into a discussion, and I said, well, why are you moving to Illinois? He said, because I have to. They're closing down the Caterpillar plant. And I said, really? I said, that's odd. Caterpillar seems to be doing okay. He said, they're closing it down because they're going to ship the manufacturing of the Caterpillar equipment over to Taiwan. He said, now here's the real kicker, Dan. I have to go and train the Taiwanese welders how to weld over in Thailand, basically taking my job so that I have to move over to another plant in Illinois. I've got to train the Taiwanese. I ran into him about a year afterwards. He came back up to Ohio and wanted to see the house, make sure I wasn't damaging it and all that good stuff. So I got in there and I said, you know, how's things going? He said, Dan, I'm working so much overtime, I can't stand it. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, do you know that 50% of the Caterpillars coming in from overseas have to be ground down and re-welded because of the piss-poor welding that's going on in Thailand? And I said, what? And he goes, yeah. He goes, it's that bad. He goes, you can't train them. He said, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody. He says, but they're just not welders. He goes, they just don't get it. He said, I am a master welder. He goes, the guys I work with were master welders. We turned out great products. But they make more money shipping the garbage over to Taiwan and having them do it and then pay us overtime in Illinois to grind it down and re-weld it to make it right. My brother is an engineer.
See, that sounds like government incentives, but go ahead.
It is government.
Ahead, Dan. Sorry.
It is government. And that's my point. The goddamn government has got their nose in shit that they don't belong in, and I'm sick and tired of it. I had 3 air conditioners on 3 mobile homes down here go out in less than 2 years of being brand new. The technicians come out, so I'm a tech. I work on HVAC as well. And so we get into the conversation. I said, these motors are going out on these high-efficiency, brand-new units. He said, that's the government. I said, what? He said, that's the government. He goes, how do you think they get these things to be, quote, high-efficiency ratings? He goes, they have to use...
obsolescence.
They have to use... Well, no, though. They have to use semiconductor switches for the motors, and they burn out.
Instead of relays.
The old relays, he goes, would last 15 to 20 years. He goes, these semiconductor units, in order to get this government rating, we have to use them, and they're burning out in 2 to 3 years.
You know what? I'll bet you 100 American dollars on air right now, that chip is a 74LS4001 solid state, and it's not a high current. It's a you set a high, say to pin 2, you get 6, 8, and 9 go to low, and then you trigger circuits off that. Well, as a trigger circuit, here I go being techie, if you're driving that to drive coil relay contact, switching 110, 120 volts, or even some installations are 220 or even 440 in commercial, a solid-state component is not ever going to replace a driver set that's going to drive hard contacts to turn the coil on and let the contacts of the relay do the job.
Right.
But that costs money. I'm sorry to get techie, but does that palette with you, man?
No. Well, it's my point again. The American people got to get their heads out of their rectums and understand that just because somebody works for the government doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. I've run into helping people through the years, Child Protective Services. They are the most incompetent assholes I've ever met in my entire life. They're sadistic bastards, and every single one of them I ever dealt with didn't know diddly squat about children, raising children, or nutrition. They don't know a damn thing. They're like a lot of these medical people. You start talking nutrition, you might as well be talking about the structure of Mars. They don't have a clue. So
yeah, go to Walmart and buy protein this and, I forget
ridiculous.
The brand names. Exactly, sir. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just said, yeah. I got to go on. I don't watch a lot of TV, but MeTV has like Perry Mason and some of the WKRP is one of my favorite little past. But they have a new commercial going, Dan. You want to hear it?
Sure.
It's version 2 of the HPVVC. And it's the end of the school year, and your child needs a second dose. Dan, I about rolled off my bed. And they're guilting the moms and the parents, and, you got to get your son and your daughter vaccinated now with round 2. Now, also, I have another affiliate up in New Hampshire. It's Ron Eccles, and I air him from 9 to noon Eastern. And there's a commercial on there that absolutely just frosts my ass. And it's not that I blame Rod, That's why I don't do commercials. But here it goes. If you were born between 1945 and 1965, you really, you're going to get shingles. So being an engineer, Pastor Dan, I'm thinking, so we have this time slice of 45 to 65. Now, is that because they know that most of the people alive right now are either born in 45 or, probably have a good chance like me that was born through 65? And why is it that that slice of time, here's the meat on the ribs, Pastor Dan, why is it that Big Pharma is selling us on 1945 to 1965? What occurred in that period? And my follow-up question, sir, before I yield, is what happened in 1966? It was the cutoff date. Anyway, go ahead, man.
Well, that's a good question. I'm trying to think. I fall into that category. All I can think of is obviously it was the post-war years. We had Korea going on. We had the establishment of the bastard state of Itzalai. We had the United Nations foisted upon us. Let's see what else was going on. I'm sure more than that.
But see my point.
And also vaccinations were big, huh?
Yeah. Well, my point is, they set a start and a stop time, 45 to 65. Okay, all right, well, you know, and I'm an engineer, so I have tolerance. You know, I'll put a resistor in, it's plus or minus 5% or 10%, or military grade is like 0.01%. I have tolerance for dates. But, see, I'm looking at the Dr. Phil side of my head. And why publicly, not just my one example of 1945 to 1965. So in 44, I was okay. And in 66, I'm okay. So what happened? You know, did you guys fuck up in the chemtrails? Okay, whatever. Now, let's go back to what I witnessed last night. They're selling the second dose under a different name of a vaccine that, in my humble opinion, and I'm going to disclaim, I'm not a doctor, and if you choose to vaccinate your kids, that's your own damn business, so don't sue me. But, Dan, I watch, see, I gauge the mentality of our people on the commercial, the producers of the commercial, and what message they think we're going to accept. And frankly, sir, if my TVs weren't so expensive, I'd be throwing shit at them.
Well, that's why I use mine to hold my Air Force flag. The only time my Air Force flag comes off of the TV set is when I want to watch a DVD, which is not very often. But other than that, it's used as a flag holder in my living room, so I don't watch it. There's nothing good on it. Same thing with the radio. I can't stomach it, so the only thing I play is occasionally some CDs of patriotic music or faith-based music, stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you, I've noticed one thing. Those of us that have turned off the beast, I call those all devices owned by the beast, the less you listen to the underlings of the beast, the less fearful you are. It's been my contention for a long time. The media's job is to keep us afraid, because when people are afraid, they'll buy into almost anything. And that's why
You know what, Dan? I have never been a fearful man, although, you know, we all get the red lights in the back window, and it's like, oh, shit, and the adrenaline gland goes nuts. But it took two visits from the FBI to my studio to tell me to shut up in a very indirect manner, to put the callus on the term fear. I have no fear. I will never harm anybody. I told these two ass clowns. Actually, the one senior agent was cool. He was very cool. And his little dog-nipping newbie was, you know, trying to get in my face. And I looked at him. I said, step back. Just step back. I'll talk to you guys. But don't intimidate me. Don't, because it's not going to work. And they were on my land, Dan. They were on my land. And it was because I made a comment of Freddie Mac, okay, back when I was really fighting foreclosures for people. I said, if you see a cockroach shooting photos of your house, this is quote, this is almost like a Cody statement, and I'm going to start over. Here's my quote. If you see a cockroach, which are these intimidating scumbags that come out and photograph in your windows on behalf of Fannie Mae, shoot them back. End of quote. That got me a visit. Okay, and I meant shoot them back with a camera. And I even made the hand gesture. And again, the senior agent is a guy that I would fucking go buy lunch for, Dan. Excuse my French. He was a good guy. His little nippy dog that was just fresh out of the academy, I had to tell him to step out of my space while I talked to Dad over here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And everything was cool. Anyway, the field guys in our alphabet companies, as you and I both know, Dan, we have some good guys. I've got some good guys. They were forced to retire. I didn't finish that story. Three guys they came by here in plain clothes, and you know, I thought they were here for an egg and muffin and a cup of coffee. He goes, Jim, we're leaving, and we were given two options. They said to me, Dan, we could either retire or retire.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
but I still have them on speed dial. So back to our point of order, and I'll yield, is there's a lot of us that are peaceful, qualified in our different venues, but I'm here. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning, we say, go time, brother, you call me. I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're very quickly approaching that time. We really are. And all you have to do is be a student of history to know that. I mean, this is nothing new. You can study it in the Bible. You can study it in historical documents. You can study it just in the United States with the War for American Independence and many of the other conflicts that were here. All you have to do is watch the signs of the times. You know, the founding fathers gave us a lot of little nuggets of wisdom. They said, he who governs least governs best. Well, obviously, the corollary of that is he who governs a lot governs worse. And so we got way too much government. Even Ronald Reagan said it. The government's not the solution. The government's the problem. Too much government, too many taxes, too much regulation, too much intrusion. It's time to pare it back. It needs to be pared back.
Let's go back to simple. That's why you and I are going to... But here's the thing. Here's where the beautiful boat of the country capsized, and it is 180 degrees out of phase. Our employees, okay, and I'm blessed with great staff and great employees and people I bust my ass to make sure they get paid and other ventures. We all work well together. But at the end of the exercise, Dan, our employees... our spokespeople, if you will, have turned it around to where they're wagging our tail. We're the business. We're the dog. How fucking dare you wag my tail?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to yield. I mean, I'm sure you've heard that analogy, but the problem is so simple, and I was moving some things around to the storm in my freezer, and I heard you say, you know, hey, what Jim said today, and it's prolific, brother. This is simple. And, you know, I said 2 to 3 years. Well, I was being generous. I applauded you. I damn near dropped a big old ham on my foot because you said it would take me 2 to 3 days with the right folks.
Right.
Count me in, and I yield, yeah.
Let me recount a quick story. I know we're running a little long here, but back in the 80s, I was at a power plant in Ohio, and we were all sitting around lamenting Hell Week in Detroit. And back in those days, the blacks would pretty much burn down whole neighborhoods during Hell Week, which is associated with Halloween. And it became known as Hell Week because it's hell on the local fire departments and police officers trying to restore law and order. So people are raped, people are beat up, houses are burned down, etc. every year around Halloween during this week. So I made the statement. There was a room full of guys, other technicians there, mostly white guys, of course. And I said, well, I know I and some guys like me could end this right now. End it. And a bunch of guys looked at me and they said, how the hell would you end it? I said, well, here's how I would end it. I would go into Detroit on Hell Week with a group of men, militia men, and the very first 50 murderers, rapists, and larcenists, we would take them and hang them from lampposts on the main streets of Detroit.
Or shoot them dead, but go ahead, yes.
No, we're going to hang them just like the coyotes on that ranch. We're going to hang them down the streets of Detroit, and then the next night we're going to find another 50 and hang them. And we're going to do that for the whole week. I'll guarantee you Detroit would become the safest city in America within that week. The reason we don't have crime under control, we don't have anything under control, is because we don't have any discipline. We don't have anybody in power that really does want to solve the problem. We have the problems because they created the problems. They get rich off the problems. They have political power because of the problems. They manipulate us because of the problems. Therefore, they don't want to solve the problems. I'm a problem solver like yourself. I grew up with a father was an engineer. My brother is a master degree in electrical engineering. That's the kind of people we are. We solve problems. When I see a problem, I fix the problem. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to schedule it. I don't want to plan it. Let's just fix the goddamn problem.
Brother Dan, you are now even closer. Because you know what? Present me a problem. Let's take a circuit board. Present me a problem. Give me a true schematic. I don't want a revision A schematic when the board is revision C, unless I see proper tech notes, and I'll fix that fucking board, or I'll tell you what's wrong in that circuit board. Same with a legal matter. Same with just common sense. Hey, my car stopped. Let's go down the checklist. Car have gas? You see where I'm going? It's Occam's razor. All this shit is simple for the minds of the community, except Dave, you know, I'm 58. I'm sorry, Dan, I'm sorry. Dan, I'm 58. Turn 58 in March. I'm not an old man, but 90% of my clients are retired old men, and you know, I kind of keep their business alive through the private cloud server. Let's just put it that way. And they can retire the brick and mortar, and they can go enjoy life. But you know what? These guys are behind us, man. They can't jump in the fight like you and I do, Pastor Dan. But they're behind us. And if we can be the voice, I'm just elated over today's events.
Yes.
But
amen.
We have a lot of people behind us, Pastor Dan, and I look so forward to propagating and elongating what happened today. And I don't mean to be all mushy, but I'm just sitting here going, wow, what a difference a day makes. And to get a new person, real quick too, you talked about vetting. I have three levels of vetting. And when you get in my treehouse, which I have a private group on my webpage that, you know, you have got to have the golden key to get into. And that doesn't mean that we're being pretentious. But like your friends, hey, we all met. We had a good time. Pastor Dan, you and I have spent, 4 hours together indirectly. You have my heart trust. And so you come in the group. And then maybe you come into the secondary group, which is the, you know, the portal between outside and inside. And I have what I call the treehouse. And you and I sound like we're in same age group, but remember as kids? No girls allowed in a treehouse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we used to, it was either treehouses or the hayloft in the barn. And where I came from, we had more haylofts, so it was easier to just get up in the hayloft. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about. In fact, we used to dig tunnels and take the hay and rearrange it to where we had caverns in the middle of the hay mow,
yeah.
and we'd meet down in there.
Yeah. Well, we had forts, but we didn't have the luxury of hay bales, but we would mud the side. You know, we're talking little foxholes. I mean, hell, we were 10, 11 years old at the vacant lot at the end of the street. All the parents on the block knew all the kids, all the people got along, and frankly, if I may wear you guys out, when I first bought my property in 2005, I had great neighbors, man. And this is kind of a different community. It's not house stacked. Most are 10 or 20 acres. So, you know, your neighbor's there, but they're not right up your ass. And back in 2006, 2007, I was writing software for AT&T and Singular and all those gas bags. But, you know, if Fred down the road, Pastor Dan, needed a roof, we'd all, the guys in the community, go down there. And they would come here and do whatever I needed. And the girls at the time were fixing up baked beans and tater salad and deviled eggs. And the guys would take care of their chores, go home and shower. And we always came back here and just had a fellowship barbecue. I mean, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. We were a community. Yeah.
Do you know what that sounds like?
What's that?
That sounds just like an Amish barn raising. That's exactly what the Amish community does where I was raised. They have barn raisings and house raisings. If your house or barn burns down, they get together. And here's something I only learned about a few years back. Do you know that every timber, my uncle's barn on his beef cattle, he raises Angus beef. The barn that we used to play in was built by the Amish. So I went back there when I learned this, and sure enough, it turned out to be true. Every timber in that barn has a alphanumeric identifier on it, meaning a letter or a number or both.
Amish built nothing that was half-assed.
Exactly.
Pastor Dan, go
ahead,
sir.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't know this, but here's how they do it. Each of those timbers comes from a family. Every family was to cut a tree down to certain dimensions and put that alphanumeric identifier on it so that when they had a barn raising, the elders in charge would build the barn like a tinker toy. They would call out the numbers and letters, and they knew exactly which piece of wood to put where, and that's why the barns went up so fast.
Well, and see, therein lies the community, if I may.
Exactly.
You know, instead of Lowe's, Pastor Dan's family has these planks. Hutmaster Jim has these planks. And it was a commitment of time to give back to the community. Not give back, but give to the community, which is now where the government has us all boofed, called property tax. No, I mean to interrupt, but Dan, see, that's, you know, people say, you know, they might listen to this and say, oh, that's antiquated. Nobody does that anymore. Well, you know what? Maybe it's time.
Well, yeah,
that we
who benefits?
Do it.
Yeah, who benefits from us not doing that way? It's called insurance company.
Well, how arrogant have we got to where we don't do jack shit?
Right.
Back to your point, these people took a piece of their time out, and that's either their tithe or their commitment to the community or contribution, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to circle back. I'll tell you what, Dan, I miss that. I'm one of two owners of 24 in my little hidden away community here because the banks got the rest of them. And these were good people, and I did my best to help them. And, you know, and the fucking muzzies, I'm sorry, I may, you know, piss everyone off, tried to come in and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, Dan, we had a fellowship. We looked out for each other. I don't have any kids, but I see the kids running up and down the road on little pink bicycles and, you know, and praying to God that some asshole didn't run the one and only stop sign that comes in and out of my little bailiwick back here. But Dan, it's gone. My friends are gone. My sheriff friends are gone. But I'll tell you what, brother, I'm mining the fort just like, Dancing with Wolves is one of my favorite movies, right?
Yeah.
I am manning the hut. Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have a good conversation and a good meeting in the very near future because now I have even more incentive besides friends and family that are up there, even more incentive to get up there. And not only to meet you, but I want you, there's other people on my list, my short list, that you need to talk to. We need to all sit down together and have a little session. I call it Solving the World's Problem Sessions, where I get together with friends and family, and we men sit around and have cold drinks and smoke cigars and discuss world situations.
Yeah, you're going to love it. Hey, so, go look at some of my go look at some, you know, Cigar Dave is also a friend of the show, and my senior partner in my law firm and I always go to his events, and I am a lieutenant. I get my 4 cigars a month. I do like to enjoy maybe a sniffer or two of scotch. I never walk around where the Lord can't come back, and I'm incapacitated. But at the end of the day, oh, my goodness. And the good news is where my studio is, even though I don't let too many people come visit me, there are several venues, Dan, half to a mile away from me. There's a Panera Bread. There's a Cody Steakhouse. There's, even if we really want to get exotic, we go to International Plaza and go to P.F. Chang's or, you know, and I'm not pounding my chest, but most of those venues, I can call them up at, say, a 3 o'clock in the afternoon meeting on a Tuesday. The restaurants are dead. So the boys can come in, have a private table, and discuss what we need to without looking over our shoulders to see if somebody's trying to tune in Tokyo. It, you know? But yeah.
Operation Talpiot out of Israel is listening in, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, real quick, too, Dan, and we can have this chat off air, but look at the Amazon Alexis. I mean, I'm a techie. I hold 3 patents in what you guys know to be text messaging, okay? And I'll just talk to you about that. I developed that back in the mid-'80s, and everyone laughed at me. Well, gee, you think? Anyway, yeah, and I went through the BlackBerry lawsuit. I wrote the SDK for BlackBerry, which is Research in Motion. I ain't sitting here bragging, but I know how this shit goes together better than the people that fucking designed it. Excuse my French. But at the end of the exercise, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to point out, you know, everybody's, that's why I changed it from more of a Pastor Dan show. This is called the Commander's Call, because the Aramaic word that is translated pastor can be translated leader or commander just as easily. It's all the same word. So I call this the Commander's Call for that reason, that we're past the biblical basis of right and wrong. We've done enough teaching on that for almost 19 years. Now we're going to have to move on to the Ezekiel 37 army phase. And so
actionable actions.
Actions speak louder than words. We've talked it to death. Now we got to take it to the next step. And so as a Commander's Call, we don't have to sit there and pretend to be these pious little pew setters in the standard Christian churches today, which I wouldn't darken the doorstep of, and listening to some pusillanimous seminary-trained liar sitting up there telling us fairy tales as if it's what Christ said. It's not. So as a Commander's Call, we always have a caveat that says, you know, if you're offended by that kind of stuff, then tune in somewhere else where somebody won't offend you. This is a call to the men. I dedicated my show 19 years ago to waking up the men, because I look at especially the white men. The white men are the most put upon people on earth today. We're put upon by our wives, we're put on by our children, we're put on by society, the court system, and everything. Why is that? Because they represent the people the Bible says are going to bring down this system, the beast system. They are the Israelites of old, and they're going to bring this system to its knees. And that's why everything, look at hate crime laws. Who are hate crime laws used against? White people. They're not used against anybody else. That's obvious.
Hey, Pastor Dan, I spoke with my retired Secret Service brother today about that very term. And he is, his legacy was attorney, prosecutor in, well, in the prosecutor's office, and then went to FBI field, and then went to Secret Service. And we had this very discussion today. Very. Hey, how can you even think about writing down charges, hate crime? It, there's no victim. There's no any real law. And you know what? If I call into the White House and I threaten a bomb scare, yeah, there's probably somebody that needs to come out and see that person. But if I make a comment through my First Amendment about Nancy Pelosi is batshit crazy or a criminal, well, it's Sunday and we have ladies, so I won't say. But just like back to my Fannie Mae thing, Dan, I was cautioning people to keep the photographers away from foreclosure properties, which is their third party. And, Dan, these people will walk up and snap photos in the windows unless you have the proper signs. And they'll even violate those unless you know what you're doing. So, again, I'm going to recite this again. I was so pissed off because a client that I was helping, brand new baby, and whatever, she calls me panicked and says, Jim, there's somebody taking pictures in Ryan's new baby room. And it was in the back of the house, Dan. It wasn't like they just you see where I'm going?
Yes.
So I documented everything, and I went to Twitter, and I said, if you see these cockroaches from Fannie Mae shooting pictures in your house, shoot them back. And I met with a camera. Well, I'll be goddamned. Excuse me, Lord, on a Sunday especially. It takes about 3 days, because the other one was a love letter I sent to the Idaho or Oregon state police or prosecutor over the Bundy case, but we'll get to that later or another show. So, Dan, 3 days later, these two guys show up. And, of course, they got all their little flashy badges and, you know, trying to intimidate. And I go out the back door. I never go out my front door. I have cameras here better than fucking NBC. So I go out, hey, good morning, gentlemen. I mean, I wanted to give them an announcement, but I have my 45 on my hip, which I can do on my land. Well, of course, you know, they get all fucking nervous. But like I said, I had a good senior agent and an ankle nipper. But the point is, the ankle nipper was trying to scare me into shutting up. Where the senior guy, and see, this is right before Comey, and I was looking through the side of the senior guy's eyes over the mirror glasses, because I also had mirror glasses. I don't know how to dress for an interview, but I was looking to the side and looking at his eyes, as was he. And see, those are the guys that, and I told him, I shook his hand, I said, look, man, you need my help, you know where I am. I'm well armed. I'm not a fucking nutbag. And when you guys get in trouble, you come get me. And do you think that's what's going on here, Pastor Dan, or
yeah, I've had that same conversation over the years, and we've made it very, very clear from day one. We know they listen. People used to tell me, you know, you should be careful, they might be listening. I said, I'm counting on them listening. I'm hoping they're listening. They need to hear the condemnation.
Hell, yeah.
Hey, they need to hear the condemnation
link
in my voice, because they are wrong, not us. And we've made it very clear. We're not their enemy. We're their friends. right. We're soldiers. I took an oath. I was in the military. I've got family and friends in law enforcement and military. We are militiamen by constitution. I am fighting age and able-bodied. Therefore, the Constitution says I'm a part of the militia. So we're not here as enemy.
Let me ask you, Pastor Dan, who can knock on my front door right now and give me the last credential I need to jump in and engage in getting this done? Who?
Right now, my answer, right off the top of my head, my answer would be the sheriff. That's why we're trying to find constitutional sheriffs to be part of. And we have an outreach right now. My friend from the Panhandle is up in the state of Michigan. One of the strongest constitutional sheriffs in America is out there. I interviewed Sheriff Mack, Richard Mack, who is the head of Constitutional Police Officers and Sheriff's Association.
Yeah, and real quick, Dan, I'm very familiar with our good friend Mack, but he seems to have fallen off the radar.
Well, again, okay? I am in touch, and here's another irony. Now, here's an irony. It just came into my mind. I know we're running long, folks. I'm sorry, but this is just too much good stuff. This is the way the Father works. I go up to Melbourne, which is on the east side of Florida, halfway up. One of my best friends, a Navy veteran, he is a manufacturer of firearms and ammunition up there. He owns his own business. So I go up to visit with him and discuss things. And in his office, in the area where his office is, he's got a man and wife who are working their business in the same building. And they're friends with each other. And he introduces me to him. We get talking about my radio show. And he says, you might be interested in knowing these people. And I said, well, why is that? He said, because I am an officer in the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association.
Buddy. Yeah, go ahead.
And so we make a friendship, and guess what one of the numbers he gives me to is Chris Ann Hall. So here's the circles, what I'm saying. So right there, out of the blue, what are the odds that I go visit a friend of mine, and in the same building, unbeknownst to him, he didn't even know this guy was part of the, he just knew him as a local businessman and wanted some place to set up shop. They worked out a deal together. It cut the cost for my friend and his business. And it turns out he is a good friend of Sheriff Max, and he is an officer in the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association. I mean, what are the odds? And so he knows, as a consequence, he knows a lot of pro-Second Amendment people all over the state of Florida. So here again, I said, wow. And so as I'm talking to you, all this stuff's running through my head. We are going to go forward. This is not, I've been praying about this for quite some time. Give me a sign, give me a sign, give me a sign. We need to go to the next level because nothing is getting done. We're being played. We're being played for fools, and these are not hard-to-figure-out problems. They're easily solved problems. We only have to obey our Heavenly Father. We have to come back to the point where He is the commander and not a bunch of people sitting in Parliament or in Congresses and legislative bodies. They are fallible men and women. They obviously are fallible because most of them are pedophiles and criminals. Some of them are traitors. Some are dual citizenship Israelis. That should be tantamount to an admission of treason. Holding citizenship in two countries at the same time while you're in my government, that's tantamount to treason. And yet they're allowed to do it. That shows me that nobody up there is going to fix a goddamn thing. It's up to us to fix it. So it's now time to move to the next step.
Amen.
That's what we're going
Amen.
To do.
Count me in. And, so, you know, I said the same thing on my staff meeting this morning. Sundays are typically having these conversations. And the one person that is way up there, higher than me, said, yeah, Jimmy, but, you know, treason this and all the statute of limitations. I said, horse shit. Murder has no statute of limitations. Martha Stewart, I'll be not so many people, did not receive a sentence of incarceration for quote-unquote insider trading, she received her sentence for lying to the FBI. Go look. Prove me wrong. Okay? Secondly, I could frickin' fill up the shopping list. Pastor Dan. You know, one of my favorite movies is Forrest Gump. And in there was Captain Dan. Right?
Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan. But see, our round table and even our treehouse, sir, and I am kind of going off the professional side here, I am with solace as to the joining of our two channels and the joiner of even you coming in and popping in. Is my cat? Yeah, hell yeah, you're hot. Go. I didn't know who you were. But Dan, Lieutenant Dan, man, I really, let's get this party going so that we can play the game, get beat up, try to score the extra point, and then get this damn country back on track and under our control. Listen, man, hey, if we need Northrop Grumman or Boeing, you bet we do, and we need to keep our defense. But if we're going to stir up shit to encourage business, that's out of here on my watch, brother.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I think we're going to wrap this one up because we've been on for 2.5. So just to save the ears of our poor listeners, we could go on for hours, I can tell that. So what I'll do is let's cut this one off now. I'll get a hold of you. We'll have an off-air thing, and we're going to have a meeting here very, very soon.
Very good, sir. Well, Pastor Dan, thank you. I'm going to end the recording, and I will send you the link, and I'll talk you through how to upload it to yourself. Anyway, thank you for your kind consideration of time, sir. I'm very honored to be in your accompaniment after today.
Well, thank you, and same is to you. I was honored to be on, and thank you for the time, and we'll just end it with a short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon this union, this meeting together of minds of men who are seriously concerned with the direction that we're going, and we need to have solutions, Father. No more talking, no more playing, no more placating. We need action, and we need to come to you. We need to recognize you as our lawgiver and our commander, and that no men, no group of men, no military, and no legislature has power over us if it's in violation of you. And we just need to come back to that, and we need to come back together as men at arms and brothers and to treat each other as such. And we ask this on Memorial Day as we honor those who have sacrificed all in the military service for this country and for our families. And we ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Oh, amen. Amen, Pastor Dan. It's been my great honor. I will end the recording here, and I will be in touch with you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Pastor Dan, I am so elated to be in your acquaintance today. You have a great day. God bless you. Be safe.
Amen. Take care.